Great to have your company. Sam Edmund with you on a wet Thursday here in Melbourne, but hope the weather's better if you are listening from elsewhere. I've got a sneaky suspicion our next guest might be faring a little bit better when it comes to Mother Nature. We find him in Brisbane. It's a very good afternoon to you, Mitch Robinson.
G'day, guys. And no, it is raining up here too, so we've got that Melbourne weather everywhere.
Oh, that makes us feel a little bit better, Robbo. I'm actually just delighted that you're still involved. I half expected you to have quit the AFL by now, mate, and you'd be on the Major League Gaming circuit, maybe an eSports headline act. But you're still with us, which is good.
Yesterday's training session, I was close to hanging the boots up. I'm not going to lie, it was pretty hard session to get back into it. But no, I'm enjoying both worlds at the moment, and we see the light in the tunnel with the footy. So I think it's been announced tomorrow, which is a big thing for us footy players to know who we're playing and what's the go. So it's exciting.
We'll come back to the footy in a moment. You speak of the two worlds. Let's go into the gaming world, because also tomorrow the AFL's hosting, how about this, $100,000 charity duos tournament. It's called AFL Stream King. It's featuring Fortnite. It is on, as I say, tomorrow, 7 o'clock to 9 p.m. Australian Eastern Standard Time, and you can catch it on the AFL Gamers Network YouTube channel. A number of AFL players have signed up to the Gamers Network. Mitch, this is going to be a great event.
I think so. I participated in a couple of pro-am events in the last couple of years at Australian Open. So we played on the Margaret Court, which is really cool, and we get to play with some pro players. So there's some big AFL names playing in tomorrow night, so I'm looking forward to that. But, it's going to be pretty exciting. Looking forward to it, and hopefully take down a couple of my teammates who are participating as well.
So some of the other names I've got here in front of me, and you might be able to flesh some of these out a bit more. We've got Jack Viney, James Sicily. I think Connor Rosie's playing as well. When I mention those sort of names, do you almost chuckle inside? I mean, have you got them all covered?
I've got everyone covered in the AFL. I'm not going to lie. But I'm only joking. No, they're actually really good, because we've got everyone's partnered up with the professional players, so everyone's kind of got the winning chance, and it can take just one bad move and you're out of the game. But there's Charlie Cameron and a couple of Adelaide boys, were Rory Laird, Rory Atkins. They're all pretty good on Fortnite. So everyone's, going to be able to hold their own. Just depends on how their pro goes.
And now everyone picks their charity. Your chosen charity is Fight MND, which is great. And you mentioned the pairing with a professional gamer. You are paired with Mr. Fresh Asian for the event, who's probably, he might actually be the biggest gaming, identity, celebrity in the country right now. But is he any good at Fortnite?
He's probably one of the best players as well in not just Australia, but the world as well. So streaming-wise, he's like the most popular on YouTube. He's got millions of subscribers. So I got very, very lucky. He's won the past two charity events with Fortnite. So they have all partnered up with Fortnite to throw some money into charity. And as you said, I chose my charity as Fight MND. Obviously, we've got some pretty close ties to that with Chris Fagan, who's a big advocate for that charity, and obviously very close to Danaher as well. So hopefully I'm playing for a little bit more than normal, so I'm looking forward to hopefully getting a top couple of placements so I can get some money towards that.
Now, we know your approach, Mitch, when you got the boots on and you're chasing the pill around a footy field. It's bull at a gate. You're aggressive. Now, when it comes to Fortnite, is that your strategy? Are you more of a camper? Do you sit back a little bit more, or you really get out there in their grill?
No, I'm definitely the same as I am on footy field. It can cost me a lot of eliminations as well. I get killed pretty easy, but if it comes off, it's good. But yeah, I do rage a lot. If anyone watches my live streams of me playing the game, it's probably 90% of content me just yelling at, calling out the cheaters in the game that probably aren't even there. So it's all good fun, but I love doing it. It takes my mind off footy sometimes, and it's good just to have something like a little hobby outside of footy that can keep me busy as well.
Oh, fantastic. And before we leave the gaming, John McEnroe famously busted up a lot of rackets. I mean, what's the equipment casualty rate in your neck of the woods?
I'm not too bad. I just use a lot of profanity and I mute the microphone and yell out a lot of stuff. So, but Charlie Cameron, he's the one who rage quits. He nearly smashed his remote the other night. We're doing an event for Red Bull, a Call of Duty event, and he threw his remote and could hear it smash in the background. So he's one of those guys. So hopefully tomorrow night I see him in on the Fortnite world and can try and eliminate him.
Oh, I got a few years on you, Mitch, but I still remember the rage quit. One of the highlights always when that happens. Hey, you mentioned training earlier. A shock to the system physically, and I imagine a bit mentally, because it has been a while since you've been back inside the four walls, as they say, of the footy club.
Yeah, I think it's a bit of both. Physically, I feel really good. Running-wise, it's more of the change of direction and the stuff with more than a partner. We're training in groups of eight now, so we're doing like full ground drills, kind of three-quarter ground drills. And I think we start contact possibly next week. So we're doing a lot of sprints. It's a bit of rugby league training. So it's a bit of a shock to the legs, and they go pretty quickly. But it's actually really good mentally, because I think 2 weeks ago, we kind of got the sight that we're going to start to go back to training. And that's when it kind of ramped up our training and our intensity at that. So it's been a pretty good, I know everyone's probably saying it, but the last two sessions have probably been the best we've done all preseason. So in terms of that, I think everyone's pretty excited and keen to get into it.
Yeah, because that's what I was going to ask you. It's hard for you to speak to every player for every player on the list, obviously, but whether the motivation was there, whether you were, you know, really thirsting for it, or whether it was like, oh, geez, we've got to pick ourselves up and get into it. I mean, most obviously fit into the supremely motivated basket, you would assume.
Yeah, the funny thing is I haven't seen half my teammates, because the rules and regulations in the quarantine isolation rules still apply to us. And I literally train with my eight blokes, and that's who I see during my session. So I actually haven't seen half my teammates, to be honest, at the moment. But in my group, and the other group that trains on the field with us, they're very loud. It's like we're playing against another footy team. We're just yelling out at each other, trying to keep each other motivated and getting through sessions. But everyone's come back and ripping Nick, and I'm sure you're going to see a lot of fit-looking blokes when we come to round two of the season.
Are you happy with your group of eight, or would you like to trade a couple out for a couple others?
It's a bit young, my group. I wouldn't mind training, because I'm the one who's talking all the time, trying to like get that motivation going, and as I do, I'm pretty chirpy. So the other group's got like Zorko, Richie, and a few other blokes who are, you know, a bit of loud mouths on the field. So, but in saying that, I'll stick to my group. I've got a couple of weeks to go, and I reckon we'll be ready.
You're a physical player, as I say, and there's a lot of players like you across the competition. I mean, is it enough time? Obviously, the physical stuff will start next week. It's going to be a bit of a shock to the system without, you know, any body contact for so long. How do you anticipate getting your head back around that, and whether there's enough time to get completely up to speed?
Yeah, I'm not sure how it's going to feel. With, you know, knocks and bruises and stuff, you kind of get that during the preseason camp that we had, 8 weeks ago. So we only just played a game 2 months ago. So I don't really know how the body's going to hold up, but we're going to prepare ourselves, I guess, you know, possibly match practice sooner than later and get ready for round two. But as I said yesterday, we're doing a lot of rugby league type stuff, up and down to get those legs going to see how we go. So it's going to be pretty fun, and I've been a bit of a cage animal. I can't wait to start trying to run through some blokes, to be honest.
You've been around for a while, Mitch, and you play for a club that plays all its home games at one particular venue, and that being the Gabba, of course. There's a bit of talk around at the moment that Geelong are campaigning the AFL to play all their home games at GMHBA Stadium, given that crowds won't be a factor this year. Do you think that's fair? Should we judge the Cats? I mean, speaking about a bit before you joined us, be judged almost like an interstate side, that they've got a home ground that hosts AFL games, they should play all their home games there this season?
Well, looking from their perspective, I don't see why they shouldn't be playing home games there. I know there's a lot of talk around it last year in the back end where the finals were happening, that they weren't getting home games at GMHBA. But I agree. I think if you've got a home ground that holds a lot of people, doesn't really matter this year, because I don't know if we'll play in front of crowds, but I think they should be playing at their home ground. I hate going down there, to be honest. So I'm sure a lot of other players and teams feel the same way, but we love playing at the Gabba, and that's our home ground. And fortunately for us, we get to go there when we play home. So I agree with them. They should get a home game, especially this year, considering what's happening to the crowds.
One other topic I wanted to run past you, Mitch, and we'll throw this out to the SEN family after we leave you, is that there's an interesting story out today in the Herald Sun that some clubs are pushing for a marquee setup, much like they have in the A-League, where, given the financial restrictions brought on by COVID-19, that you can have at least two stars outside the salary cap, so a marquee player plan. When I mention that, what's the first thought that comes to mind? Do you think that's something that could work, or do the rich just get richer and the bigger just get bigger and the smaller clubs get smaller?
I think I saw that. I think the first thing that comes to mind is Juddy, but I'm not actually 100% sure what happens in terms of being paid outside the salary cap. I don't think you're allowed to in the history of the game, but I don't know. I think the AFLW kind of have that similar setup where, you know, the top two players are the marquee players for their team. And I think if that's ASA similarities, then they probably should be allowed to do that. But if you're honestly one of the best players in the league, you should be getting paid accordingly, to me. So if you're average, you get paid the average wage. If not, then it just goes on how you actually perform. But in saying that, then you start luring other big names to the club that could entice, you know, players that push for premierships at other teams, because, you know, they're going to get the best players at the club.
Juddy arrived at Carlton just, I think, a year before you. Did you put your hand up for a Visi deal when you arrived at the Blues as well?
Yeah, I actually did become an ambassador. I was doing a lot of things for them, but I was not getting paid for it. So shout out to Vizzy, OG sponsor.
Fantastic. I actually said that as a joke, and there you are. You're actually doing some legitimate work for them, which is fantastic.
No, not really. No, they're doing like clinics and stuff at the Icon Park, or Vizzy Park, what it was called back then. So that's what we used to do.
Hey, there's obviously going to be a hub set up in your part of the world in Queensland. Now, we know the WA and the SA teams are going to be playing at least the initial part of their season out of that part of Queensland. It's a good opportunity for the state and for that part of the country when it comes to growing the game, even though fans aren't allowed in. What do you think it will do for football in that area?
Well, considering the growth up here, it's been really, really positive in Queensland, especially with the females, female league coming in, AFLW. The participation rates have gone through the roof in terms of the females playing and the boys playing. So that's been great for us. So I can only see positives come out of this. Unfortunately, there's no crowds going to be allowed to watch these teams play week in, week out. But just knowing that where they're playing, and hopefully we get some good weather for everyone to understand that Queensland footy is it's delightful up here, and we love training in it all year round. And you'll see a lot of those boys relishing in. I think you see a lot of good tans during the year.
And before we let you go, Mitch, the shorter quarters might restrict the ability to get a good tan, but what do you think it'll do for the game? Is it going to be more ballistic? I mean, is it going to be faster? What does it mean for someone like you, a traditional wingman?
I'm not too sure. The round one was a little bit weird, but because we trained all season for all pre-season for the normal gameplay, when it was restricted back, we felt like we had plenty in the tank. So I think as the season goes on and we're still playing in these short quarters, then we'll probably work on more high-intensity running than long-distance running. So people like it. I've seen a few names like Degoe and those type of players who are very explosive and offensive weapons. I think they're going to thrive in that shorter quarter span. So for the guys that are really good runners, like the Bradley Hills and the Gaffs of the world, I think they'll go just as good because they can hold that pace for the whole quarter. So, I don't know, it's going to be interesting to see, and I'm looking forward to it.
Fantastic. Something else I'm looking forward to, Mitch, as we let you go. Tomorrow night, the AFL hosting, as I said earlier, that $100,000 charity duos tournament. AFL Stream King, it's called, featuring Fortnite. It is 7 o'clock Eastern, Australian Eastern time, until 9 p.m. tomorrow. You can catch it on the AFL Gamers Network on YouTube. Mitch promises he won't rage quit. You can catch him and the rest of the boys gaming there. Thanks for joining us, Mitch.
No worries. Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Our superstar, Mitch Robinson. Love having a chat to him at the Brisbane Lions, former Blue, of course. 1300 736 736. We've heard from Mitch. He's supportive of Geelong playing all their home games at GMHBA Stadium this year. What are your thoughts? And also, as I mentioned with Mitch, can a marquee player system work in the AFL where a player or certain players get paid outside the salary cap? What would that do to the competition? What will that do to the gap, the so-called gap between the rich and the poor, the big and the small? Let us know your thoughts right throughout the afternoon here on Dwayne's World.